From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde, in for Ross Reynolds. Tomorrow, Barack Obama gives his State of the Union address, and one of the issues he's promising to talk about is climate change, which is significant in part because last year in his State of the Union, the president did not use the word climate, not even once. It could be that public opinion is changing, but what is the president expected to say, and more importantly, what is he likely to do on the climate front? Joining us with one perspective is David Roberts. He writes for the online environmental magazine Grist that's actually based here in Seattle. David Roberts, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what do you expect to see, before we get to the president, what do you expect to see from this Congress when it comes to major climate legislation?
In a word, nothing. I think there is zero appetite on the part of Congress for climate action of any size, really. As long as the Republicans are in charge of the House of Representatives, I don't think any major climate legislation or minor climate legislation will move.
You're picking on the Republicans, but when the Democrats were fully in charge, we didn't see any movement on climate either, right?
Oh, well, we have to remember that to get a bill through the Senate, you need 60 votes, not a simple majority, but 60. So as long as Republicans had enough to mount a filibuster, there's sort of a wall there that's impossible to get over. This is not to say that Democrats are blameless, but there's a sort of baseline opposition that can't be overcome, at least as things now stand.
So given that opposition to any movement at all on climate, any effort to regulate it whatsoever, what do you think Obama's going to say in his speech tomorrow night?
Well, Obama, remember, these are two co-equal branches of government. So Obama does have quite a bit of power on his own to do things on climate without Congress agreeing. And I think what you'll see in this State of the Union is less sort of I call on Congress to follow me in doing X, Y, and Z, and more this is what I plan to do, like it or not.
And what kinds of things can he actually do?
Well, the big tool in the toolbox is EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and specifically the Clean Air Act, which is an incredibly flexible and broad law. You know, it was passed in the 70s and amended in 1990, but the definition of pollutant in the Clean Air Act is incredibly broad. And in 2007, the Supreme Court ruled that greenhouse gases fall under that rubric. So the EPA is now authorized to regulate greenhouse gases. And what that will manifest in this term is rules for power plants, which are the big producers of greenhouse gases in this country, specifically America's fleet of old, dirty coal plants. So this will be an incredibly significant move on Obama's part. And depending on how much chutzpah he has, he could go after those pretty hard.
So the EPA has had the power to regulate carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases since 2007. What have they done so far?
Well, these things take a while. They passed with the Department of Transportation. They passed new fuel economy standards for automobiles. That was one of Obama's big first term achievements. And they also passed carbon pollution standards for new power plants, which basically effectively means that there will be no more new coal plants built in the U.S. unless they sequester their carbon, which is unlikely to come to fruition anytime soon. So those are two big pieces. But the existing coal plants right now are the big carbon problem in the U.S., cars and power plants.
We don't really have very many out west. Is this where are these plants located? How many of them are there, you know, compared to other forms of electricity generation?
Yeah, most of them are clustered in the Northeast. It's the heavily populated Northeast that has the really bad air pollution problems, like soot and smog and mercury in the water and things like that. So it'll be the Northeast that sees the primary benefits from this. But of course, the climate benefits are, you know, benefit everyone.
And the Midwest, right? Is Congress doing anything at all then, do you think?
I think there is some slim chance for bipartisan action on energy efficiency. It seems to be an issue that is less charged, less controversial than climate change itself. And there's been some Republicans, you know, who've made sort of overtures on this. So I think in terms of increasing energy efficiency standards for things like appliances, I think there's some chance of movement on that.
And we had climate expert Amory Lovins on recently talking about this, saying there's a ton that could be done on the energy efficiency front. And really, it's almost a free market thing. What kinds of things might Congress consider?
Well, they could increase, you know, efficiency standards. This is one thing Obama can actually do without Congress. The Department of Energy actually sets appliance standards and equipment standards. So there's, you know, there's whole families of equipment and appliances that could be boosted. And of course, what Congress could do is set a sort of efficiency standard for the nation as a whole. So power utilities are forced to meet certain efficiency targets across the nation. And that, I think, would set in motion some really big, some big things.
Last fall and earlier this year, some people were talking about a carbon tax, the idea of a carbon tax, which we have actually up in British Columbia. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is talking about it. Is anybody else talking about it?
Well, everybody's talking about it, but people have been talking about it for a long time. And my my take on this is that there is a snowball's chance in hell of a carbon tax passing this Congress or any Congress anytime soon. But of course, hope springs eternal on this because, you know, it's sort of widely accepted among climate analysts that until you have to pay to spew carbon in the air, you know, as long as it's free, people are going to keep doing it. So this is sort of seen as kind of the baseline of serious climate policy.
Is it something that has a chance? Because cap and trade was an idea that was floated and tried certainly during Obama's first term, but it failed completely. So is there a chance now that the carbon tax will be the next cap and trade?
Well, if you go back and look at the way that people attacked cap and trade when it was a viable possibility, they attacked it by calling it a tax. So just putting forward a plain tax, I don't think is going to avoid any of those attacks. I mean, there's been some talk about, because we're in this, you know, these series of fiscal crises, there's been some talk about using a carbon tax to raise revenue or to reduce the deficit. So there's been stirrings of that, but I don't see any serious appetite for it among Republicans in the House. So, you know, that's that.
I don't know how it was sold in British Columbia. It's been there since 2008, but there it's revenue neutral, right? So it's not really a tax that causes your taxes to go up. Is that something that Bernie Sanders is going to be talking about?
Yes, most of the carbon tax proposals that are floating around now are revenue neutral, which means you raise money through the carbon tax and then you return the money either through reducing payroll taxes or some other tax, or just through per capita rebates, just sending checks to people. And the idea is that that will make it less unpopular if people sort of receive the money back. But that idea has there's not a lot of evidence, at least in American politics, that that idea is going to be enough to push it over the top.
And I just want to ask you, kind of to summarize, I guess, absent something like a carbon tax, how optimistic are you that some of these other things that Obama might do through the EPA are really going to make a difference when it comes to ultimately dealing with this problem of climate change?
Well, the World Resources Institute has a great report out that tried to calculate what can Obama and the states do without Congress? How far can they get? And what they found is if Obama and states are ambitious, they can get to 17% reductions by 2020, which is the sort of target that Obama promised the world in the Copenhagen climate talks. So they can get to that short-term climate target without Congress. But beyond that, beyond 2020, to hit the really deep reductions we need to avoid the worst of climate change, you're eventually going to need legislation. But I think everybody agrees that sooner or later, this problem is going to be so obvious and so severe, and the rest of the world is going to be taking such concerted action that the U.S. will not be able to hold out. It's just a matter of how long the U.S. can drag its heels, really, at this point.
I actually said that was my last question, but I guess I lied. If the whole world has to deal with this problem, is the carbon tax the idea that's emerging as the sort of global solution? Kyoto doesn't seem to have done very much.
Well, we have sort of a carbon tax-centric discussion of this in the U.S., but if you look at really what's moved things in other countries, it's not a carbon tax. It's more direct incentives for the deployment of renewable energy like they have in, say, Germany. Germany is up to somewhere around 20% now renewable energy because they directly pay people extra to install it. So taxes are not the only way to go. It's these feed-in tariffs is what they're called in Germany. The feed-in tariffs have produced way more movement globally than carbon taxes so far. I mean, eventually carbon tax will be part of the solution. And the way to get around the international problem that you refer to is by taxing imports based on their carbon content. And that way you can sort of harmonize between countries.
All right. And we'll be listening tomorrow night to hear if how many times Barack Obama uses the word climate. It could be the new drinking game here in
climate
Seattle.
Climate spotting, I call it.
David Roberts writes for the online environmental magazine Grist, which is based here in Seattle.